24/7 Radio Network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. I hope you're having a great day, enjoying the roller coaster life of being an entrepreneur, the ups, the downs, the sideways, the twists, the turns, and the headaches and the pains. We have an absolutely great show for you today. I am excited. We're going to talk Bitcoin and how to sell and trade Bitcoin with our first guest, Stephanie O'Connell. We're going to find out about getting a VA from Brittany Bettini, and then Corey Poirier is with us, one of the best speakers in the country out there working right now. He is at the top of the heap. And so I'm very excited to replay this. This is a greatest hits that we're adding back to the server. For those of you who don't know, our server went out of business and it wasn't economically feasible to keep it. And so we're having to slowly rebuild all of the greatest hits. And Corey is certainly one of those. So great show, and I appreciate you being here. Before, I wanted to comment on a couple of things. The VA, the second segment that we're going to have with Brittany, I cannot stress to you how important it is that you have some sort of virtual help. You cannot do it all on your own. If you can, you're not doing enough. And so that's the way you should think of it. I need help always just to get the stuff done. And AI doesn't do it all yet. And so you need a VA. And I have done for 15 years, I've been doing this. Philippines is by far the best. And you should be able to get someone in the $800 to $1,000 a month range that's full-time working for you. And, you know, the way to do it is to say, I'll pay you well, but you have to jump through some hoops for me. They're the exact opposite time. So if it's, you know, 9 a.m. for you, that's their 9 p.m. How are you going to solve that problem? The way I do it is my VA works from their 7 a.m. So my 7 p.m. until 4 o'clock their time. And so I get to speak to them twice a day, at late at night for me or then early in the morning. And that works out very, very well for us. So please, you're not going to get everything done. You're not going to be successful until you get that VA. Go buy my book. The Real Environmentalist is still selling very well, even though it's in the pre-sale. We need to get as many sales pre-launch as possible so that it has a better launch vista and all of that technical formula stuff. Please go get Real Environmentalist. It argues that the environmentalists today are the entrepreneurs that are solving the problem. We've got a great show. We'll get started in just a second. Sell. Bye.
Startups Radio hopes you will reach out to us if you have any questions or comments, or if you need help with your business at any stage, from concepts to exit. Jim accepts all connections on LinkedIn. He tweets from @EntrepreneurJim, and he responds to emails at james.beach@att.net. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show.
We are back, and again, thank you so very much for being with us. You know, there's nothing more important than saving for our retirement, and apparently the younger generations are doing it a little bit differently than their moms and dads. Please welcome Stephanie O'Connell to the show. She is a very sought-after personal finance expert, an author, a speaker, and is known for empowering women and millennials to achieve financial independence. She's been featured on the Today Show, ABC World News, Bloomberg, CNBC, and now here, Stephanie O'Connell. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It is my pleasure. All right. So lay the groundwork for us. What are you finding and what is the excitement that we have here today about Bitcoin?
Well, what we're really seeing is this huge generational trend of young investors turning to Bitcoin to grow their money. Gen Z holds just as much crypto as they do in stocks because they're looking for non-traditional investments that offer a higher return. Now, this is a generation that came of age in the digital age. So them turning to these digital assets, using these tech tools to enable them to invest in them, that's not so surprising. The other thing is they came of age at a time that Bitcoin saw enormous growth. So $1,000 invested in Bitcoin in July of 2015, 10 years later, would be worth almost $400,000. So that's the kind of return that young people are looking at and saying, oh, I want my money to grow into the future. And I'm not really sure how to get that growth otherwise. I might not have access to a pension in the way my grandparents did, or even a 401k like my parents did. So it's not surprising that we see younger people between the digital space and this growth potential turning to Bitcoin. But I also think that growth is something that a lot of us across generations are looking to incorporate into our financial lives, no matter where we're at in our financial journey, especially nowadays where we see prices rising so much, we see inflation, we see the money sitting in our savings account over the long term, not really earning much interest. We're looking for these other tools that enable us to achieve similar growth in the same way younger generations are.
So every once in a while you hear the trope, oh, the Department of somebody, Commerce, is going to outlaw all of these coins. And now with the Trump children making billions of dollars a week, it seems, in their investments, it seems like we're at a position now where all of the alternative currencies are going to be welcome and legalized. Do you agree with that? Does it seem like the threat to Bitcoin is dead?
I would certainly say Bitcoin has really entered into the mainstream, so much so that research shows that 32 million without crypto plan to buy it in 2025. And Bitcoin is probably the most well-known of those cryptocurrencies. And it's so trusted now among 88% of Americans. They trust Bitcoin to grow their money over the course of the next decade. So that really shows us that this is now being considered a mainstream asset. In terms of the survey results, Bitcoin was named a top three investment choice by 39% of respondents. That's above gold, and that's just below real estate. So I think this mass adoption of Bitcoin as an asset in people's investing strategy really shows us that this is probably here to stay.
But to be a contrarian, if you say it's now mainstream, maybe its huge run is over and it will be a 6 or 7% commodity like everything else.
Well, as I mentioned, you know, 32 million people without crypto plan to buy it just this year. So as much as it's mainstream in terms of, you know, with more and more products incorporating cryptocurrency into their offerings, the growth potential is still pretty enormous. We're still in the early stages of this. So, you know, I think what we're looking at here is long-term potential. In the short term, certainly, as with any investment, there's always ups and downs. There's a lot of volatility. So this is really about thinking, how do we build wealth, not just in the next month or in the next year, but in the next 5 years or 10 years?
Is it only Bitcoin? What about the other ones, the other token currencies?
So there are many different cryptocurrencies, but I think what we're really talking about for a lot of investors who are trying to get started is starting with that asset that has a long track record. You know, Bitcoin has proven itself in a way that a lot of the newer tokens really haven't had the opportunity to prove themselves over the course of the last decade. And so I think especially for those who are just starting to add cryptocurrency into their investing strategy, using a tool like Easy Bitcoin that simplifies this and says, okay, if you're just getting started with Bitcoin, here's a simple way to buy it, to hold it, and to get started and learn more about it by actually investing. It's really intimidating for a lot of people, I think, to start with any new investment, right? So the idea of Easy Bitcoin is to get people started in an accessible way that doesn't require them to research through like 100 different kinds of meme coins and say, okay, what about this is for real? Everyone has probably heard of Bitcoin. It's been in the news. We see, you know, as you mentioned, the government talking about it more and more. There's this widespread adoption. It's a global adoption. And so I think that in terms of getting started in the crypto market, using Easy Bitcoin to start investing in Bitcoin, even with small sums of money, you can start with just $10. That's probably a good entry point for a lot of folks.
Tell us more about Easy Bitcoin. Where did it come from and who supports it? Why should that be my wallet?
So Easy Bitcoin is a mobile app that simplifies the experience of investing in Bitcoin. Now, one of the unique features about Easy Bitcoin is that it rewards you with more Bitcoin for simply using the app to buy your Bitcoin, hold your Bitcoin, even holding your US dollars on the app. There's also a recurring buy feature that allows you to contribute to Bitcoin over time. So you can say, oh, I want to invest $10 a month or $100 a month in Bitcoin. Kind of like how if you have a 401k and you have an automatic withdrawal from your paycheck every week or 2 weeks to your retirement accounts, you can set up a similar kind of automation process with this recurring buy feature on the Easy Bitcoin app. And that can really help people develop the habit of investing for the long term.
All right. That sounds like a good idea. And buying on the dips, right? We always talk about in the stock market, you want, you know, a little baby crash and that's when you buy. Is it the same with the currencies? Can we wait and then buy on the dips, or do you not recommend that strategy for this asset class?
You know, when I talk about investing, I like to take the long-term view because there is so much up and down, and it's so hard to try to time the market. So my strategy is a time in the market is better than timing the market. And so if we can get started, it's not saying, you know, we have to amass this huge windfall and then wait for a dip and then get started, because first of all, that opportunity might not ever come. But second of all, it just really serves as an extra barrier to entry when really the biggest barrier for most people is that first step, is that getting started. And so that's why I encourage anyone with any investment really is to get into a mode of action and get into the habit.
Great advice. Stephanie O'Connell, how do we find out more? Follow online, get us set up for Easy Bitcoin, all of that, please.
Well, you can go online to easybitcoin.app to learn more about what I've been talking about here today, or just go to your app store and download the Easy Bitcoin app.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us, and I will get some purchases and then hold you accountable for my growth. How about that?
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Thank you so much. And we'll be right back.
Sell, 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 sell. Buy, buy, buy.
We are back, and again, thank you so very much for being with us. We as entrepreneurs need more time, and it's so hard to get everything done in the day. I wish that I had done the piece of advice I'm going to give you 20 years ago. My life would have come out differently, I think. But a couple of years ago, I went ahead and hired a permanent VA, a virtual assistant. And our guest today, our first guest is Brittany Bettini, is going to teach us how to find a VA, organize, manage, pay, all of those things, everything you need to know, the benefits of it, all of that, why we just don't use Fiverr all the time. Brittany, welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am very well. Tell us about your business.
Yeah. So my main focus is connecting business owners with virtual assistants to run the back end of their business so that they can get back to working in their genius and spend their time doing what matters to them most.
All right. I love that idea. Let's go back in time. How'd you get this idea?
Well, honestly, I'm somewhat of a serial entrepreneur.
No, please lie to us. Tell us the lie version, Brittany.
Well, the truth is so much cooler than any lie I could have come up with. The truth is I started my first kind of entrepreneurial journey. I was an employee, but I was an employee of my family business in janitorial. I kind of worked my way up from scrubbing toilets for that company to running the company for my family. And in doing so, I realized that, you know, my parents were doing it the old school way and everything was really hard and you used your body a lot. And the employees took advantage of you because, you know, you'd have paper timesheets. And once I figured out how to run that company in a much more profitable and scalable way, I started my own company in credit repair and working with people to kind of get their finances back on track. And I was running two companies at once. So I was drowning because I didn't even know VAs existed. My business coach was like, you should hire a VA, because I was crying in the shower every night. And I was like, you want me to hire a veteran? What is a VA? And he was like, no, you need a virtual assistant. And I hired my first VA and she changed my life forever. And that's how I got into the VA business, was because I started telling every other entrepreneur I knew, every other mom I knew, about what my VA was doing to make my life easier. And every single person said the same thing. I need a VA. I need a VA. And I was like, God, that's catchy. So I started the company, I Need a VA, trademarked that little term, and we've been off to the races ever since.
And that's an amazing story. Congratulations. Just very well done. How big is your company now? How do you measure it? Income, number of VAs? How do you measure it now?
So we work with about 600 companies, whether they're startup entrepreneurs and real estate agents, all the way to, we have, you know, some contracts to hire and recruit for some Fortune 500 companies who are using our VAs. So that, you know, once I moved over into the corporate space and, you know, the big companies were asking me to find their people for them, I was like, oh, we've made it. So for me, it's not about the dollar amount. You know, we do well financially, but for me, it's about helping as many entrepreneurs as I possibly can to just have that freedom. The whole reason we started businesses was so that we didn't have these jobs that drained us. But as entrepreneurs, we're working 24 hours a day and not getting a break. So giving them their time back is really how I measure my success now.
Excellent. I love that answer. Very, very good answer. So I want to hire a VA. Walk us through the thing. What questions would you ask me? Just pretend and let's go.
Yeah. So if you're a client of mine, if you're coming in through my kind of funnel of different services, we do the matchmaking for you and the vetting and the training for you. But if you're hiring, what I like to do, if it's okay with you, I like to teach people how to do it on their own. Okay. If I give you the entire back end of my business, then you can do it on your own. But most entrepreneurs, they want convenience. So they end up, you know, coming to me because it's a hard process. Is that okay?
100%. Yes.
Perfect. So if I were starting over from scratch and I need to hire a VA, my favorite country to recruit from is the Philippines. A few different reasons.
100%
number
agree.
One.
100% agree. Yeah. That's my experience as well. Keep going.
Yeah, they have the lowest communication barrier. They learn English very young, and the work ethic and just the culture there really meshes well with entrepreneurs in the U.S. So I usually go to somewhere like Indeed or Online Jobs PH and create a custom listing for what it is I want, what it is I need. Very, very specific. So the more specific you can get with your job listing, the easier the process will be for you. So really getting granular about what software systems that you use inside of your company, what jobs they're going to be doing, direct tasks, all of that. Lay that out in a job listing. And then this is where the magic happens, is being very specific on how they need to respond. You're going to get, when you put a job posting on online jobs page, you're going to get hundreds, if not thousands, of responses, because there's just so many people in the Philippines who are waiting for a job in the US because of the BPO industry. And, you know, they worked for Google or Meta or whatever. So telling them in the job listing, hey, I want you to respond to this using this subject in your subject line, exact word for word, this is what you need to say in the subject line. Then you can go through the listings. If they didn't use that, you can immediately just go through and delete them without even opening them. It'll cut it down probably 25% of people who follow directions, because that's important. The next thing,
Brittany,
is,
can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah, jump in, please.
Do you know the band Grateful Dead?
Yes.
Yeah, what's the number one association that you have with them? They're a bunch of what?
I don't know. Stoners, yeah.
So back in the 80s, 90s, before the internet thing happened, they only sold their tickets through their own mail order service. And they had a 4-minute recording on their answering machine. And the funniest thing ever, just these totally high people copying down 4 pages of instructions, you know, to send off and get the tickets. It's like, you know, get a 9x5 card with lines on one side only. The top line has to be red and all the other lines are blue. That's the only kind of card we accept. And it was just amazingly detailed and it was just so funny. But I love everything you said. Sorry to interrupt. So back.
No, I love that. Yes. So do like the Grateful Dead. And the next thing I always have them do is I ask them to attach a 1-minute video introducing themselves, telling me, you know, what their skills and abilities are. And this kills 2 birds with 1 stone, because number one, if there's not a paperclip or an attachment on the email, I can delete all of those because I know they didn't follow directions. And number two, if they did, I get to see what their communication skills are from that video, how, you know, if I'm going to be able to communicate well with them by their, you know, accent level, and, you know, kind of if they mesh well with I'm a big vibe checker when it comes to hiring VAs. Do I think you'll fit in well with my team just from hearing you speak? That helps me narrow it down to about 50%. So you started with a couple hundred, you're now down to like 75 candidates. And then this is where it gets sticky, because this is where most people fall off. You then have to schedule a Zoom interview with every single one of those people that you want to interview that follow those directions. Because one thing, you know, just like in the US, we've all fluffed our resume to get a job that we wanted. We've all lied about what we can do. And we're like, we'll figure it out when we get there. Same thing happens when you're hiring a virtual assistant. So I schedule a Zoom interview with every single one of the candidates. We do an internet speed test, because this is a developing country. You want to make sure that they can actually work at the level you need them to work. So we do a test on screen with them, have them pull it up and share screen to show what their internet speed is. We ensure that they have the tools that they need to do the job. We, of course, have, you know, some conversation with them. And then even, you know, depending on what the position is, you can do some skills test right there. Hey, here's my login for Go High Level. Let's log in. If you are a Go High Level expert, walk me through, show me how you build a funnel, show me how you build an automation right there on the screen, because they can't fake that. It's not something they can have someone else do for them and then present it to you later. This is something that they have to show you right then and there. And that helps us narrow it down to the very best candidates, so that we can have maybe 3 to 5 to, you know, maybe 10 that we're choosing from. And that's, you know, that's how you get the best candidates that are going to stick with you for a long time. And that's how I find my candidates for my clients.
I love it. I love that methodology. That sounds absolutely brilliant. I had a guest a month or so ago who had a similar methodology. He threw in one more thing.
Yes.
If you say this project is due next Friday and we give you a week to do it, check or give them a link that they have to use to do the project, and have the link not work on purpose. And you'll find out when they start the project by when they email you to say, the link doesn't work.
That's genius. That is really smart. I might have to start incorporating that in my process.
I gave it to you. I threw it out there knowing what could happen. So
I love that.
Yes. How do you grow your business here in the U.S.?
So that's my main focus now. So my whole life revolves around marketing the company. It's the only job I have. I've been able to delegate everything else to VAs in the Philippines. So I'm the only US-based person really that does marketing for our company. I speak on stages. I do things like this, podcast appearances, and I teach classes in other people's programs. So if you have a coaching program where you're training entrepreneurs, I am the most logical person that you could have to come teach them because they're able to execute better when they have help. These coaches are teaching people things and then they're mad that they're not executing, but it's because they're overwhelmed. So that's my main focus right now, is just getting into as many coaches platforms as possible to give them my entire business back end, and then hope that at the end of the day, they are too busy to do it themselves and come to me.
I love that. Yes. What should a person cost a month? Let's blow our listeners away here.
Yeah. So if you're doing a direct hire and you're hiring your VA and you're managing them yourself and paying them yourself, you're looking from anywhere. I say higher than most people. I like to pay my VAs between $5 and $7 an hour because they'll stay longer. You know,
what is that a month? 500, no, 5 times 40. That's only $205.
Five times 40 times 4, about $800 a month for a full-time employee.
Okay.
Which is crazy because I have 55 in-person employees in the U.S. for my janitorial company, and I can't get someone to show up for an interview if the listing is for less than $25 an hour. And then you add on the federal and state taxes you have to match and workman's comp insurance. And I'm paying, you know, $30 an hour to get an employee without a GED to show up to work. So in the U.S., you just can't find people with the type of education and skills to do what you need to done in your business for this type of rate. And
so for $800 a month, they barely speak English. What else?
No way. That's for a really, really high end VA, like someone who's gone through that vetting process that we talked about, and a dedicated VA that's working for you and your business, because $800 a month in the Philippines is worth way more than it is here in the US. So they're able to live well on that type of salary.
Yeah. You can probably get an MBA for around in there too, right? Maybe a little bit higher than that.
MBA?
Yeah.
So
master's of business degree.
Yeah. I have people on my team right now that started at $6 to $7 an hour that were working as professors and in government in the Philippines. And I was able to pay them 3 times what they were making there to come work for me. And they have, you know, degrees, and they are intuitive. Like, honestly, my VAs are way smarter than me. My chief operations officer, Mabs, she started out as a graphic designer for me, and she's now the chief operations officer of my company. She's a genius and just full of amazing ideas, always developing and growing the company. And I don't have to, you know, really check behind her anymore, but she's been with me for 4 or 5 years now.
Yes. Very cool. It's an amazing job and business. You've done it really well. How many businesses are you running right now? Janitorial, what's the 3 or 4?
So I sold my credit repair company a few years ago so that I could focus the bulk of my attention on the VA company. I am still considered the chief operations officer of the janitorial company, but I have a very limited role as far as I just show up for a meeting once a week and I handle any major, major issues, you know, like dispatching someone to handle that problem. My main focus in my life revolves around I need a VA now. I've done other things, but, you know, I've kind of either sold them off or fizzled them out so that I can do, this is where my heart is, you know, the I need a VA is what really gets me excited about life. And so I've decided to quit chasing shiny objects and really just double down on what I know best.
Very, very smart. Brittany, it's a great story. Congratulations on doing it so well. How do we find out more, hire a VA through you, all that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to our website, ineedava.com. There's a really great 5-minute video on there that breaks down our process for you. And, you know, if you need more information, it'll let you schedule a call with me to figure out exactly what you need. But ineedava.com is the best place to start. But we're also on all social media networks as well.
Thank you so much for being with us, and I'll see you in Manila.
See you there. I'll be there in January.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Write that down. That's an interesting data point. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Of course.
And we'll be right back.
On climate change? Introducing The Real Environmentalists, the bold new book by Jim Beach. It's not about activists, politicians, or professors. It's about the entrepreneurs, real risk takers, building cleaner, smarter solutions, not for applause, but for profit. The entrepreneurs in the book aren't giving speeches. They're in labs, factories, and offices, cleaning the past and building clean products for the future. The Real Environmentalists is available now because the people saving the planet aren't the ones you think. Go to Amazon and search for Real Environmentalist. Thank you.
Welcome back to School for Startups Radio. Thank you again so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I am very excited to introduce you to my first guest today. His name is Corey Poirier, and he has a really fascinating background. He is an international best-selling author. He's a keynote speaker, and he has his own radio show, which is called Conversations with Passion. We're going to talk about all of these. He also has a new book that's coming out right now. It's actually already out. And you can find it at thisisthebook.com. This is the book. And he claims it's going to transform your life. That will be the first thing we ask him about. You need a code to get the free copy. It's Thrive Now. THRIVE Now. Thrive Now. Thisisthebook.com. Corey, how is this book going to transform my life? And welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jim. And how it's going to transform your life is it's going to give you a system to apply some of the common traits that the enlightened superachievers are doing. So you mentioned our show, and what I spend my time doing is interviewing what I call enlightened superachievers. And how do they get to the top of the field? What do they have in common? And so what the book's going to do is it's going to reveal those common traits and threads. And then it's going to provide insights by some of those same thought leaders in the book as well.
Excellent. And you've got a really impressive list of people, and they have some insights at the back of the book. Let us know who some of those people are, like Jack Canfield, I believe, to get the listeners excited about getting this free book.
Yeah, for sure. So Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup for the Soul and the Success Principles, pretty much a household name. Jack, in the book, providing an insight that delivered to us during our interview. Robin Sharma, who wrote The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, T.R. Becker, which is the author of The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, John Gray, Center for Mars. Also, from the fitness world, Chalene Johnson, who's the creator, in fact, of Turbo Jam, and Mary Smith, who's kind of become sort of the resident Facebook queen, if you will, teaching people how to thrive on Facebook. So kind of a who's who of the thought leadership world, mixed in with Olympic gold medalists and an athlete and top award-winning musicians as well.
Well, fantastic. I love it. It sounds like a great book and a great offer. Thank you for doing that. But they need to act quickly, right? This offer is only good for the next couple of days. It ends August 1st, I believe.
Yeah, it just happens in the timeline of when I've come onto the show, Jim. But yeah, it's been available for roughly a month, and August 1st is the last official day, and we decided to stay true to that. So it is, we are cutting it off on August 1st because we have to make our way over to Amazon and Kindle. And over this period, of course, anybody who gets that site with that passbook gets a free copy. So yeah, the time is winding down.
Excellent. Well, I will do that myself. It looks like a cool one to read. And can we buy it in hardback or paperback once it makes its way over to Amazon?
Not yet, but that's going to be coming soon. The irony is that my kind of the opposite order of what most people do. This is my eighth book, and it's actually my first non-hardcover or print copy book. And it's my first actual digital ebook only. But yeah, the ultimate intention is to have it in a hard copy. It's just I wanted to take a different approach this time. So, you know, the launch was the free period. Then the Amazon Kindle will be kind of the EPUB, republishing period. And then it will make its way over to hard copy. I just don't have the date to reveal yet for that. So I would, as a guesstimate, I would say probably in the next 6 or 7 months it'll be hard copy, but not at this point yet.
All right. I'm doing the exact same thing, Corey. I published with McGraw-Hill and found them to be just beyond incompetent. They, you know, they have a big brand name, but they do not understand the real world that we now live in the 21st century. And so my second book, I'm not doing 130, 140 pager like you are. I'm going to do like a little 50 page pamphlet type thing. And I'm only going to Kindle publish it just to see what happens. And a lot of my guests who I've talked to about this think I may make, you know, I might make more money just on Kindle than going through the traditional publisher. You know, at McGraw-Hill, you get 0.00001% of every book sold. So that's pretty exciting.
Well, and you know what I have to say, Jim, we had one of our guests has 7 international bestsellers, and you know, I won't reveal his name because he said this off air, but what I will say is, he's done a lot in the book industry. One of his books is the co-author of 5 million copies. And when he heard the route I was taking with this book, he said, you know, I'm starting to question and wonder whether or not I'm going to go that way, you know, going forward, because he said he's seeing the book industry and, of course, the sales basically diminish and his share diminish, but also the impact he's having diminish. So he's saying, you know, maybe this is the route with the platform I have I take to, you know, going forward. So I think that's a sign of the time.
Right. All right, let's change topics, Corey. I want to really put you on the spot here and talk about passion. You are, you know, obsessed with passion. I see a picture of a t-shirt here that you're wearing that talks about passion on it. And you are certainly, I think, really in tune with doing things that you are passionate about. It's even the name of your radio show. I want to give you my little take on passion and see if you agree with me or if you just think I'm a stupid, crazy guy. Is that okay, Corey?
That sounds really fair.
Okay, so I think entrepreneurial passion is awesome. It's best. And if you're lucky enough to be passionate about what you're doing, Godspeed to you. You're really fortunate. However, in America, Canada too, and by the way, Corey is from Nova Scotia, Canada. We hadn't mentioned that earlier. 70% of Americans claim they would secretly like to be an entrepreneur. That's more than 65% who want to be a rock star or movie star. So being an entrepreneur is supposedly cooler than even being, you know, Robert Redford. 10% of Americans are entrepreneurs. That means 60% are sitting on the sofa. And I think the reasons are they're afraid of creativity, they're afraid of risk, and they don't know what they're passionate about. So my thesis here, Corey, and this is what I want to challenge you on, is that even if you're not passionate about the business, you should start it anyway because it might lead to something you are passionate about. Your second business may be your true passion. And getting off the sofa and getting started is better than sitting on the sofa and watching television. I am passionate about the process, the freedom, the lifestyle. I have run businesses that I didn't really like, but I made money from them. And that to me was enough because it allowed me to go to soccer practice with my kid at 3 and ballet with my daughter at 4. What say you? What do you think? Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy at all. And in fact, I'll go a step further and say, you know, and this is not meant by any stretch, Jim, to plug the book, but it's obviously a good segue because it is, in fact, in the book. But I talk about things related to that. One is I kind of address the law of attraction and the secret and And, you know, I'll make it clear right away. I like what the speaker did in terms of introducing people to the idea of the power of your mind and professional development and personal development. What I would say personally is I think there was some stuff missing that was really crucial, you know, like showing somebody that a genie, you know, if you find a genie that can rub a magic lamp, you can have a motorbike with a ribbon in front of your house tomorrow. You know, I think that's kind of misleading and, you know, took away the whole power of the action component. So first of all, you mentioned sitting on the couch. Well, I talk in the book the importance of the law of action, which I feel may be as important or more important than the law of attraction. So first, to get to your passion, I believe you have to take action. Second part to what you mentioned is the idea of should you dive into stuff, even if you don't know if it's your passion area, and maybe spend your time doing it to find out if it is a passion area or if it can open up one. But what I would say is 90% of the world is probably doing it already. You know, you're already doing something you probably dislike or you're not passionate about anyway.
Exactly.
You know, well, yeah, so why not jump into something that may actually take you, you know, if you've been doing something 20 years and you're not passionate about it, it's pretty apparent you're not. So why not, you know, look at going into something that may open the door to your passion rather than, you know, staying the way you are and living somebody else's life or an unhappy life for the next 50 or 60 years. So in the book, I talk about how you get to finding your passion. And part of that, I feel, is sitting and making a list of the things that get you excited and, you know, the things, as they say, you would do if you won the lottery or money was an issue. What are the things you did when you were a kid? You know, so making that list and then essentially going through and saying which ones are inside your comfort zones, which ones are outside. Mapping out the list you have to take to reach both of those, inside and outside your comfort zone. And what may happen, it may take you months or even a year. What will happen eventually is your comfort zone will keep expanding. And I believe eventually, if you don't find it right away, you'll find the one that just really gets you excited. But to me, there's no difference in starting an entrepreneurial endeavor because you get excited about the idea of having time freedom and having a little more flexibility in your life and hopefully finding your passion along the way. So to me, you know, I think we're both on the same page. I would say to people, even if you're doing it outside of your work, start doing something that at least takes you closer and at least starts a journey, but takes you closer to finding what your passion may be. And you're going to have a lot better chance of finding it in your life than the people that do the same old thing, expecting a different result.
I love it. And I think we are on the same page. I agreed with everything you said. So the secret is the missing piece to the secret, the law of action. Did I get that? Is that a fair summary of what you believe?
I believe it's one of the most important pieces. So, you know, and it's funny, one of the original plans I had, and it didn't obviously come to pass, but the book that we were talking about, I just put out, is called Thriving. But the original plan was called Secrets Behind the Secret. And so it was, you know, to talk about directly the fact that the secret revealed a lot of things that could change your life if you're not already doing them. But I believe there were a lot of things missing. So the law of action, I feel, is probably the most important one. The irony, though, Jim, is that when I talk to people about it that actually get it, you know, that get the importance of, you know, combining action and attraction, they'll say, well, isn't that implied or isn't that, you know, automatic that you know that? But, you know, my question back would be, is it? You know, I interview and speak to thousands of people a year, and my, you know, when I talk to them about the secret and the movie and the book, when I ask them what they took from it, very seldom do they say, here's the action steps you have to take to achieve it. It seems to me that the majority of people took from it, here's a way that without, you know, spending a whole lot of effort, you can get rich quick. Sadly, that's what I feel a lot of people took from this. So, you know, what is the missing elements? I think the law of action is one of them. I think, you know, there's a whole bunch of little do's that were left out. For example, it didn't talk about the importance of growing your comfort zone. It didn't talk about sitting down and saying, who am I surrounding myself with today? Making that list. Who's adding negativity? Who's adding positivity? And how can I adjust accordingly to improve my life? It didn't talk about a lot of those things that I think are just as important as the bringing the law of attraction into your life.
All right. Great. I love it. I'm going to come back to something you just said there about the comfort zone. But before that, I want to make sure that we all understand what the law of attraction is very simply. I have not read The Secret. I kind of thought it was just like what you said, you know, rub a lamp and a genie will come out. It seems to me that it's just too hopeful. And I've always been focused on the action piece. It just seems like if I want something, I will get it. Clear me up here and tell me what the law of attraction is.
Well, I would say, and you know, and you know, calling it a law. I think it's legit. I mean, essentially, it says that it's always working whether you want it to or not. And when you dive right in, you realize that, you know, there most of the people that we're associated with, I mean, Jack Canfield, we mentioned earlier, another guest on our show, Dr. John DeMartini, Bob Proctor, you know, a lot of the who's who in the thought leadership industry, and John Ashcraft, for instance, you know, associated their name with it. And, you know, these are people that they wouldn't associate their name with it if they didn't believe there was something to it. So I do believe the law of attraction does exist and has always existed. And what it really, how I would sum it up is there's a speaker that sort of emanates from the same place as I have, but both of us, of course, have traveled all over the world since speakers. And his book that he put out is called Bring About What You Think About. And it's essentially, you know, I guess you'd say his version of the law of attraction. So I think that's a good kind of tagline to explain what it is. Essentially, what the law of attraction says is that what you think about the most will eventually become a thing. So if you think about debt over and over again, even if you're thinking, I don't want to get out of debt, what they say is that that is more of. But if you think about prosperity, that's what you'll get more of. So the idea is that, you know, your positive or negative frame of mind will draw things to you. And, you know, it's the idea, like I mentioned, if you surround yourself with positive people, you know, if you're both doing positive things all the time, of course, my belief is it's going to result in you receiving more positive into your life. The catch there is like you said, the key thing is that you still have to take action for it to happen. But I believe if you take massive action over and over again, yeah, you'll absolutely draw more positive because that's what you're focused on. It's really just saying whatever you focus on will appear. And I think that, you know, to me, I think that I've learned that that's absolutely true over the years. But I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that if you surround yourself with mostly positive, you're going to have good things happen. I just think that's sort of, for lack of a better way of saying it, simple math.
Right. That makes sense. All right. Talk to me about how to grow my comfort zone. You said the importance of growing your comfort zone. My wife started a little Amazon sales business and it's changed her personality 100%. It's amazing how much more confident she's become and what she's willing to do now that she wasn't willing to do 3 or 4 years ago, like go up and talk to a stranger at a trade show, for example. Talk to me, Corey, about growing your comfort zone and some actual steps that I can do to make that happen.
Well, it's interesting you asked about comfort zone, Jim. You know, for me, I guess I have a great example of how that has impacted my life, the idea of expanding one's comfort zone. And it relates to the world of stand-up comedy, which I would say is outside of most people's comfort zone. I've heard numbers like less than 1% of the world will ever try stand-up comedy. And I found myself in a situation where, you know, an actor in one of the plays I put together asked me if I wanted to try my hand at stand-up, told me there was a two-week workshop at a university. I said, okay, let's give it a go. And the 2 weeks were essentially, you know, all you can really teach in a class. I mean, there's stuff you can teach, but what we learned, I feel, was here's how you adjust the mic stand, and then you can pick your favorite comic's name, back comic rules. You know, for the comic that taught it was Steve Martin. So basically, here's how you adjust the mic stand and Steve Martin rules. And then the third week, we were supposed to go watch people entertain us. And what happened instead is we got there, and 5 minutes of showtime, we found out that we were going to be the entertainers. So you can imagine how much material we had. Less than 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, nobody
yeah.
prepared.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely outside every person's comfort zone, I would guess, in that room. And so, you know, to make a long story short, I jumped up on stage, told my first joke, to silence. You know, sweat is running down my face. I realized I had a comedy gig a little tougher than I thought. And what I found out is that the reason I wasn't reaching the audience is that I forgot to turn the mic on.
Oh, Corey.
So I'd love to tell you that I knocked it out of the park for the next 700 shows, because that's how many shows I did after that. But, you know, 200 of those shows, I would say I spent, you know, 20 minutes out of a 25-minute set bombing. And so I really got to learn about the importance of one's comfort zone. But what that did, Jim, is that opened up comfort zone to a level that I never could expect it. And you know, I'm still surprised to say that I took the stage and did that, because public speaking was far outside my comfort zone. But to answer your original question, it changed everything. It changed the entire game. In fact, it's what led me to my passion as a, you know, was that start in stand-up comedy. It also showed me that I could do what I thought I couldn't do. And it just started changing everything. And the change, you know, to me, how to explain it better, is that people around me, you know, what they saw. When I came into work after the first couple of shows, I had people saying to me, "What's going on, buddy? Did you fall in love? I can see you got a little jump in your step." And that was because I was starting to find just a little taste of passion, and none of it would have happened with stepping outside my comfort zone. So the question of how important is it to step outside your comfort zone, I think it's everything. I think it is one of those transformational game changers. And I feel that most of us spend most of our lives in our comfort zone because we have fear of the unknown. I did the same for 20 years. And that was the game changer. And the second part of your question is, how do we do it? How do we expand our comfort zone?
Yes.
And once again, you know, maybe it's a cheap plug for them. Maybe it's not. It's not meant to be. But in the book, I talk about this. So I say this because somebody could hear this and say, "Corey, that sounds great, but I need more detail than this." So, you know, they can grab that in the book for free if they want. But essentially, what I tell people is they need to actually make that list of, you know, what do they want to achieve goals-wise, let's say. Make a list of their goals. And now ask, what's inside my comfort zone and what's outside my comfort zone? Some are going to land inside. Obviously, if you want to be a speaker or a stand-up comic, for the most, you know, most of the world, that's going to be outside their comfort zone. So we use that as the example. Let's say I want to become a keynote speaker, and I'm not doing that now. Well, maybe you draw a circle, put your name, you know, you put Jim inside the circle, and that's your comfort zone. List some things that are inside there. Well, maybe public spoke a bit inside it. But what I would suggest you then do is, now you have your circle, you have your name, you have your stand-up comedy. What you have to do is now start listing the steps that it's going to take. Start growing that comfort zone baby step by baby step. Because most people aren't going to jump outside that comfort zone to speaking. So, you know, maybe they say, okay, maybe I have to start speaking in front of 2 or 3 friends if I'm not comfortable with that. Then maybe I have to go to something like Toastmasters, you know, where they get you to actually, over time, get more comfortable with speaking in public. And I've seen people in Toastmasters go from terrified to going and speaking on stages of, you know, in front of 200 or 300 people within less than a year with comfort. So my answer would be that you have to draw a circle and decide what's inside your comfort zone. Then you have to figure out what's inside of it. And then you have to list the steps it's going to take there. And then finally, what did we talk about earlier? I'll do a little callback. Then you have to actually start practicing the law of actually taking those baby steps.
Right. That is such a scary process, though. I mean, you know, as you said, the unknown is what is so scary. And I love the advice you give. And I hope that the book will help. We need to wrap it up here, Corey. How can people get in touch with you, find out more about you, follow you on that social media thing, and most importantly, let's tell them one more time how they can get the free copy of the book and they need to act in the next couple of days.
Absolutely, Jim. So what I would recommend is that people just go over to thepassioncure.com and thepassioncure.com. Be kind of the hub for where they can connect with me further. So all your social media links are there. They can read, you know, learn about previous books there, see my TED Talk. So it's kind of like the hub at passionstore.com. If they want to grab the book, it's simply thisisthebook.com. So again, thisisthebook.com. And when they get there, it's going to ask for a passcode. And for your listeners, that passcode is Thrive Now. So Thrive, just like the name of the book, Thriving. Thrive Now, all one word. That they can use as a passcode. And then if I can, I'll just leave people with a thought, kind of ponder. After this interview, you know, a question I posed myself recently and I'd like to pose your listeners is, what if the journey is actually really the destination?
Very profound. I'm going to have to sit here and think about that, Corey. Okay. You've left me speechless, Corey. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Jim. That was my whole plan all along.
All right. Well, now I'm going to start crying. You're not going to turn into Barbara Walters and make me cry now, are you?
No, absolutely not. I don't think I have that ability yet. I'll work on it.
Excellent. Corey Poirier, thank you so much for being with us today. Great stuff. Make sure all you listeners go get a free copy of this book. It's going to cost $14 million next week, so you need to get a copy today. Corey, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for all the great work you're doing.
We are out of time. Have a great day, everyone. Take care. Be safe. Bye now.